Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Dinesh D'Souza and Kash Patel join us. We talk about Iranian infiltration of our government. We talk about Police State, a new movie out, and more. And the movie is policestatefilm.net. That is policestatefilm.net. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast by opening up your podcast app and typing in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Become a member, charliekirk.com, and click on members. We are under attack from every possible direction. And when you become a Charlie Kirk insider and become a member, you allow us to keep on telling the truth regardless of pressure from the outside. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Kash Patel joins us now. Kash, welcome to the program. Kash, tell us about how our government is being infiltrated.
I wish the following were fiction. It's good to be with you. Look, I'll just give you three quick examples. The top envoy for the president, for President Biden, Robert Malley, has been suspended by the FBI. His security clearance has been suspended, and they have not provided us with any details as to why, other than saying he mishandled classified documents. I can see the humor in that already. So the guy that's supposed to keep us out of war is on the sidelines on a leave of absence. He himself installed one of his former employees, Ariana Tatabai, an Iranian-American, as the chief of staff for the Secretary of Defense for Special Operations. That is a massive position. She has now been caught emailing the Iranian Foreign Ministry while in the United States of America when her job was to advance American interest against Iranians and ask for their permission to do that job. We reported this to the Department of Defense. She still has a top secret security clearance along with code word access and is still employed there. And lastly, you have Mehar Bitar, the number one intelligence operator at the White House. He's the head of intelligence programs, formerly Adam Schiff's bagman, liar of Russiagate, is now a Palestinian pro-national, and we've got the photo for it, and he's in charge of what intelligence collection is prioritized. He is standing in a photo in front of a wall that says end apartheid in Israel.
So how did these people ever get security clearances? I mean, and how many of them have security clearances? Actually, can you just repeat that and go through that? Let's start there.
Yeah. So all three of these individuals have the highest security clearances in the land, a top secret, secure, compartmented information access, along with code word and special access programs, as we call them, SAPs. Mehar, specifically at the intelligence office in the National Security Council, possesses the highest security clearance there is. And the lady is chief of staff for special operations. DOD is not far behind her. And Robert Malley would have had access to our most sensitive Iranian programs and collections as this presidential envoy for Iran. And somehow two or three of them still have their security clearances. Two of three of them are still employed. And people keep asking me, how did we miss the war by Hamas? This is how you miss it when you're not looking for it and you have an Iranian infiltration.
Are you suggesting that these people in the American government knew that Hamas was building up military presence and that our own government hid the intel so Jews could get killed?
I think it's a little more detailed than that. Saying that there was intelligence that Hamas was going to attack Israel is like saying we have found new evidence that the cartels were going to ship drugs into the United States of America. That intel's there every day, all day long, and it's developed continuously. But when you have leadership like these individuals, like Joe Biden, who tell the intelligence community, our priority is climate change. Our priority is the setting sun. The existential threat to the world, as John Kirby said on the lawn of the White House just 2 weeks ago for President Biden, is climate change. When you do that, you just move over the beams of collection and the people doing the work, and they're forced off mission. And this is what happens.
So tell us about this Iran Experts Initiative. It started in 2014. It seems like an influence scheme. And Cash, we had, I mean, you know this, Michael Flynn went through hell for being a quote-unquote foreign asset, right? I mean, I could go through the list, but we have actual foreign assets now with high-level security clearances that might be leaking and or back-channeling to our enemies. Like, what's going on here? Does the Department of Justice exist anymore?
No. Look, Semaphore and Revolver have done some fantastic reporting on this. But the Iranian initiatives that you're talking about is literally a covert operation play from the Ministry of Defense, the place that was led by Javad Zarif, one of the Ayatollah's bagmen. And what they do is they seed people in not just the United States, but other places that are enemies of Israel into positions of power. How do you ask that Ariana Tabate, the lady I said that is chief of staff of DOD Special Ops, how does she have a relationship with the Iranian Foreign Ministry and then get a job conducting special operations policy decisions at the Pentagon? She's been in communication with the Iranian initiative for a decade that we can now see going back to 2014. Then she went to work for Robert Malley. And Robert Malley, mind you, was the principal architect of Obama's JCPOA, the Iran nuclear deal. These coincidences are not coincidences. These are a collateralized effort by the Iranian regime to layer in a offensive mechanism to weaken the United States. And look where we are today.
So do we have any guesses as to why Malley has been put on leave?
Well, that's the question that everyone should be asking, Charlie. This, of all the things they could have done, Chris Wray's FBI, who unlawfully investigated me and so many other Americans while I was doing my job in Congress, stripped this person of his security clearance and provided no details of it. If they did that decision, that means there was some monumental breach of the security clearance process and his handling of classified information involving Iran. But we're never going to find out because this Congress and the House Intelligence Committee for the Republican majority has been woefully absent on this issue. Like, this should be the only thing they're answering, because if there was a larger leak and there are more associates involved in this Iranian infiltration, then we need to know that.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess, like, where is the oversight? It's completely and totally non-existent. Yeah. But also, I mean, aren't these people violating the Foreign Agent Registration Act?
Well, they're violating so many different things. If you're working at the behest of a foreign government against American interests, if you're working at the behest of a foreign government and lobbying U.S. interests and didn't register, I mean, there's fraud, there's corruption, conspiracy, so many charges. But to me, that's secondary than the fact that these three individuals are in power. And we don't know why the most powerful of them all was removed. And he has installed the Ariana over at the DOD. And she was allowed to keep her security clearance. Here's the kicker. The lady that cleared Ariana Tabate over at the DOD after this information was brought to light was Rihanna Workala. Do you know who that is? She was Mahar Batar's number two on the House Intel Committee for Adam Schiff. Those two people wrote the Schiff memo. These people are calling balls and strikes.
So let me ask you, just generally, are there people in our government loyal to multiple countries?
Seems like it. I hate to say that, but it seems. And look, as good as we are, you got to remember the CIA had a Russian asset infiltrate their systems for what, 15, 20 years? Same with the FBI. These guys are in federal prison. I think one of them just died like last month. But it's not news that they're doing this. And it's not news that the newest enemy in the modern era, Iran, has been doing this for 10, 20 years. And now they have a fresh funding cycle from the CCP and a global war distraction for Joe Biden on two fronts. And they are taking advantage of that terrain.
And this does not even touch on the Brookings Institution, Middle Eastern money into university campuses, Middle Eastern money into 501c3s, 501c4s, CARE, the Council for American Islamic Relations. I mean, basically what we have here is people within the American government loyal to Ukraine, Iran, Pakistan, China, all feuding with each other. America is like a colony of the entire planet, and our government represents every other country except our own.
Yeah, and you raise a good point. Look, what's going on at the southern border is directly related to the conversation we're having. Iranians and the CCP have been seeding terrorists through our southern border. DHS just admitted that at least two dozen have got in the last year, and they've lost them. They've lost them in the United States of America.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Aren't you tired of not making a difference? You can. We can make a difference standing for life by giving free ultrasounds with our friends at Preborn. In a Dobbs world, states decide about abortion, and so many liberal states are taking extreme stands, even allowing abortion up to literally the second before a baby is born. It's unbelievable, but true. And in California, the demand for abortions has increased 400% in part because the state is inviting women and girls to come to California for the sole purpose of aborting their baby. This is abortion trafficking. Take a stand for life by providing an ultrasound for a young woman. When you do, she is twice as likely to choose life. I'm a donor, and you should be too, to Preborn. Just $28 provides that ultrasound and saves one baby. $140 saves five. A gift of $15,000 provides an ultrasound machine that can save thousands of babies for years to come. Call 833-850-2229 or click on the Preborn banner at charliekirk.com. That is charliekirk.com, and click on the Preborn banner. Cash, sleeper cells in the United States that might be activated, Hamas and Hezbollah terrorists, could already be in the U.S. Your reaction?
They're already here. And you don't have to take my word for it. DHS Secretary Mayorkas of the Biden administration admitted a couple of months ago that at least two dozen known terrorist affiliates with organizations like Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran have entered illegally through our southern border, and the DHS and the FBI do not know where they are today. Now, that's what they're admitting. When you have 275,000 illegals cross this country every month, two dozen to me sounds like a low estimate. But here's the reality. What if there's more? How about if there's only one or two and those guys get activated and you have another 9/11 on U.S. soil? And remember, the one thing with terrorists they have, or the two things, are a hatred for America and an incredible amount of patience. So they will wait and see themselves in the community for years. And no one has anything to say about Mayorkas or Chris Wray and their efforts to locate these people. They're just saying they're out there somewhere, and the fake news is just steamrolling over that media cycle.
Let's play cut nine.
The intel arm of CBP has a new bulletin out, and the headline is pretty alarming. It says in bold letters right at the top, foreign fighters of Israel-Hamas conflict may be encountered at southwest border. The Daily Caller got a copy of this material. It was distributed 3 days ago, and it's about Hamas, Hezbollah, or Islamic Jihad fighters exploiting the porous border to get into the U.S. Part of the concern is that terrorists can see a ton of traffic down there. Rather, the new number is 2.48 million encounters in a fiscal year, and among them at least 172 people from the terror watch list.
So these are just people we know of, right, Cash? Not the gotaways that are in the interior of the United States.
That's a key point. These are the ones the Biden administration is telling us about. These 24 are the ones the Biden administration is saying they were encountered and lost. The Iranian regime and the CCP and the Russians are combining forces with other terrorist organizations around the world to seed these people into America because it is in their collective interest. They don't care if it's Russian, Chinese, or Iranian. They just care that they're here, and they're funneling that money and system through our southern border. And your point is spot on. Where is Congress or anyone with oversight or executive branch authority to say, what about the people that we don't know about? What are we doing to protect everyday American communities, schools, houses of worships? What is our law enforcement doing or assisted with by the federal government to track these people down? And there's no answer from this White House on any of that.
So, Cash, you've spent some time in the House of Representatives. What is your advice to try to get a speaker and proceed? Because we have this funding deadline coming up, and also there's very little to any oversight happening now. It's as if the whole House has just been vaporized the last 3 weeks. Your thoughts, Cash Patel?
Yeah, look, I mean, I know a lot of those folks over there. A lot of them are my friends, but it's not like they had oversight and hyperdrive before this whole speaker debacle. Yep. And it's not like they can't continue the oversight right now. The thing they can't continue is legislating. And the ironic thing of all that is they can't continue a CR and an omnibus if they can't find a speaker, which I think is ironic since those things are actually illegal when you look at them and have been destroying America for decades. But in oversight, like the House Intelligence Committee should be just doing one thing. Issuing subpoenas for the three individuals we talked about, Robert O'Malley, so, Mahar Bhatar, and
I agree.
Get me all the documents.
How many subpoenas have they issued?
House Intel, zero.
How is that possible?
I don't know. Maybe we need to go back there and run it ourselves, but these guys just don't want to do the oversight
work. No, but is that Congress-wide, no subpoenas, or just House Intel?
That's House Intel. I know Judiciary and Oversight, OGR, have issued like six. But again, you can issue subpoenas, and if you don't enforce them when they violate the law, Chris Wray and Merrick Garland, they're completely meaningless. And we haven't enforced a single one. We haven't exacted a price out of their felonious conduct. And we've done so at the failure to the American people's constitutional oversight.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand what the House is doing. It's unbelievable. And they kind of just sit on their hands and want more money. Okay, Kash Patel.
Charlie Kirk, yeah. First Speaker of the House.
Yeah, not quite. I would win four votes. All right. Thank you, Kash. Appreciate it.
Thanks, bud.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. When the government used emergency edicts during COVID to restrict the gathering and worship of churches, three pastors facing the risk of imprisonment, unlimited fines, and their own churches being ripped apart took a courageous stand and reopened their doors in the face of a world that chose to comply. The Essential Church is a feature-length documentary that explores the struggle between the church and government throughout history. The story uncovers those who have sacrificed their lives throughout history for what they believe in. Rediscover why the church is essential and how we prove this stand remains true from a scientific, legal, and most importantly, a theological and biblical perspective. This is not your typical movie. It will change your life. You need to see this movie with your family and friends. The Essential Church is streaming today exclusively at salemnow.com. That's Essential Church Movie streaming at salemnow.com. That is salemnow.com. Check out the Essential Church Movie. It's terrific. So go to salemnow.com right now. Welcome to the program, Dinesh D'Souza, filmmaker of Police State. Dinesh, I want to play the trailer first, and then we will dive into it. Play cut 28, please.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
Chief Division Counsel and DOJ have approved a no-knock breach.
We want the subject to be on display, doing the walk of shame, full visual impact. Any questions?
Are we becoming a police state?
Government told American citizens they couldn't go to church on Sunday.
I've never seen anything like it. It may be the Russia other people grew up in, but not my America.
FBI warrant, come to the door now!
If they're coming for me, they're coming for you.
Hands on your head!
These are anti-government.
We have freedom of religion and freedom of speech!
Violent extremists, and they must be dealt with. We can do anything we want.
Police state. Exclusively in theaters, October 23rd and 25th. Tickets sold only on policestatefilm.net.
Policestatefilm.net. Dinesh, tell us all about it.
Well, it's a film that asks a very startling question that if we had asked it just a few years ago, people would think we were nuts. They would think I was making a film about maybe China or Iran or North Korea. But suddenly we can, with all seriousness, look in the mirror and ask, is America still a free society? I mean, just go down the basic liberties in the Bill of Rights and you'll see that every single one of them has been threatened, has been abridged. Freedom of speech, freedom of conscience or religious liberty, a right to assemble, the right to petition the government for grievances, equal rights and equal justice under the law. I mean, can we say with a straight face that even one of those basic rights is now fully secure? I think the answer is no.
Yeah. And so it's interesting, the timing. You would think that it would be a bad chain of events to have your movie come out. I think it's the opposite. You know, foreign war, Israel, Hamas. But actually, I think it's super appropriate because it shows that the government is so worried about political dissidents while ignoring other potential homeland threats and sleeper cells. Talk about that, Dinesh.
Yeah, this is a very profound point. How did U.S. intelligence, which has massive resources and all the benefits of the most modern technology, how did they have no idea that 1,000 Hamas fighters were going to come into Israel, sometimes from the air, fully visible? Not only did Israel miss this, but we missed it. Why? I think it's because our intelligence agencies have been focused domestically. Now, how do we know that? Because they tell us. Christopher Wray goes before Congress. He says domestic terrorism and domestic extremism. That is their elastic phrase to pull in you, Charlie, and Turning Point. It pulls in Breitbart. It pulls in the Heritage Foundation. So suddenly these organizations, mainstream conservatives, are seen as a bigger threat or perhaps a threat equivalent to ISIS and Al-Qaeda. It's almost unbelievable.
And so talk about some of the revelations you had when putting together this film. I mean, it's so naked, it's so aggressive, and the FBI is now coming out and they deny, oh no, we're not going after this, even though they have a separate threat assessment in a Newsweek.com article. So Dinesh, I'm always curious about this when you do these projects. You come into it with probably some ideas and preconceptions. What did you learn in the process of doing this that was especially eye-opening?
Well, first of all, I reframed the issue as I started looking at it. My initial thought was, are we becoming a police state? In fact, I asked my buddies over at the Rasmussen survey, and they did a survey that showed that 75% of people approximately think we are becoming a police state. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. Democrats do? Well, if you talk to people on the left, they say, yeah, Dinesh, America is becoming a police state, and the threat is coming from the right. It's coming from Republicans. It's coming from Trump. It's coming from people who want to take away abortion rights and take away, you know, the rights of the trans people and so on. So you've got this bizarre debate in which the question really to ask is not, are we becoming a police state, but who's doing it? Who's behind it? And so I say, all right, let's look at how this police state got started. Let's look at its defining features. Let's look at how it's organized. Let's look at who's in charge. And then we'll have absolutely no doubt about who's behind the modern American police state. I have two kinds of people in the film. I have a lot of whistleblowers, informants, people who sort of explain the architecture of the police state. I mean, how is this thing organized? There's very distinctive elements here in America. And the second type of person I have in the film is ordinary Americans who have come face to face with the police state. And this is really important because there's going to be people who go, well, I'm not Donald Trump and I didn't go in the Capitol on January 6th and I pay my taxes. And so this police state has nothing to do with me. The FBI is never going to come bashing through my door. And my message to that guy is you could not be more wrong.
Yeah. And it's not the police state isn't coming. It's already here. And so I guess one of the frustrations I have, Dinesh, is why are Republicans still funding this?
I think Republicans, and we saw this with the Jim Jordan secret vote, that was really telling because it shows that the Republican Party is divided right down the middle. Now, it's not divided, I don't think, between people who are like conservative and or not conservative or true Republicans versus rhinos. I think the real division is this. On the one side, you've got a group of Republicans, a little more than half, who recognize we're no longer in the Reagan era. Our old tactics don't really work. We're now in a domestic Cold War and a new situation that calls for new tactics. And that's the MAGA wing of the Republican Party. And then you've got a kind of traditional, kind of conservative in the old operational sense, Republicans. And they basically think, oh, no, nothing's changed. Well, you know, Republicanism stands for exactly the same things as it always has. Let's not rock the boat or get too crazy around here. And this is the schism running right down the center of the Republican Party.
Do you think that there are a fair amount of Republicans that are supportive of what is happening? I mean, they're almost they want to be on the side of the regime. They want to be wearing the favorable jersey.
You know, I think, Charlie, what it is that let's remember that this police state, weirdly enough, has a bipartisan origin. Its roots go back to the aftermath of 9/11, when a lot of people, me included, I'm ashamed to say, said at the time, you know, we got to give the government these enhanced powers because it's not just a matter of following up with detective work after a crime. You've got to prevent these things from happening before they happen. And so even though there were people like Ron Paul and of course Rand Paul who warned, listen, don't give the government so much power. They are going to abuse it, which of course turned out to be the case. So one of the great ironies is that many of us helped to, in our own way, create a police state that has now turned around and defines us as the terrorists. This is literally like a bad dream. It's literally unbelievable. And yet here we are.
And yet here we are. And so what you sat down with Jim Jordan, from your perspective, what policy solutions have you seen, or like what do you think is a legitimate legislative, let's just say, agenda that could be put forward to help fix this police state? Because I that's an element of this, right? We have to identify the problem. What do you think can be done to actually solve this?
Well, I think that the Supreme Court can and I think will. They're moving slowly. The Missouri versus Biden case on censorship is kind of making its way up. They lifted the injunction, but they're going to hear the case and make a decision next spring. I think that they will deliver a dropkick to digital censorship, which is not to say that they will stop it completely. Facebook and YouTube can continue to censor. They just cannot continue to collude with the government to do that. I think that's going to come down the pike. That will be a huge victory. I do think that if you don't have the House and the Senate and the presidency, you're obviously hampered in what kinds of legislative solutions you can have on your own. The House is in a position, though, where I think they can pursue ruthlessly the investigative paths of exposing the police state. And they need to do that at every juncture that they can. The real power right now is with governors and secretaries of state and attorneys general at the state level. If they were to bring some indictments against prominent Democrats, indict Mayorkas for child trafficking in Texas, for example, that would be a good place to start. Suddenly, the left begins to feel that they too are coming under the gun. I mean, remember when Elon Musk banned some leftist journalists on Twitter for one day? The freak out, you wouldn't even believe it. They were quoting John Stuart Mill, raving about the benefits of free speech. So when it happens to them, they discover the virtues of constitutional liberty.
Yeah, and so do you think really after reflecting on this, Dinesh, it is time for Republicans to embrace political power? That's what you're getting at, right? Which is we have to make them as fearful of raids as we are.
This is absolutely critical, and it's very important to realize that the founders knew this. The founders did not think that our constitutional liberties can be protected by a paper document. All you have to do is ignore the document. Don't read it. The founders believed that you needed a certain architecture of government, separation of powers, checks and balances, but that you also need a rational and mutual fear between the majority and the minority. Each has got to be privately terrified about what the other can do. And that creates an environment in which everyone's liberties are a little bit safer.
Yeah, there needs to be an equal and opposite reaction. So, Dinesh, just plug the movie one more time, how people can find it. Please plug it one more time.
It's in hundreds of theaters today, October 23rd and Wednesday, October 25th. We bought out these theaters, so you can only get tickets in one place, policestatefilm.net. You can't get them at the theater. You cannot get them at Fandango. Go to the website. Friday, October 27th is the virtual premiere. So if you can't make it to the theater, no problem. You can watch at home, join the virtual premiere. It's a full screening of the film, live Q&A with Dan Bongino and me to follow, and all for the price of a movie ticket. So policestatefilm.net is the one-stop shop to get your ticket. So please go there now.
Check it out right now, policestatefilm.net. Dinesh, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Hey, everybody. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop at the pillow. Mike Lindell has created the Giza Dream bed sheets. These sheets look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep, which is crucial for your overall health. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you'll receive 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets, marking prices down as low as $29.98, depending on the size. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper, MyPillow kitchen towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Kirk, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. I'm going to cover this extensively tomorrow. There's too much fog of war stuff, okay? But I stand by my tweet, obviously. I sent out a tweet and I said, look, I'm a Christian. And if a church gets hit in war, I consider that to be a tragedy, especially an old church that is, by some accounts, 1,700 years old. If that's right, that's unbelievable. And my tweet was this. I'm going to read the tweet and it's going viral and getting some incredibly nasty messages about it, which, again, just proves the point. Guys, really? Okay, I'll get to that in a second. Until now, I've refrained from tweeting about the damage done to the 12th century Greek Orthodox Church at St. Porphyrius, boy, I butchered that, in Gaza. After last week's hospital fiasco, I wanted to wait for more facts to be established, but it now seems confirmed that Israel did actually bomb a building adjacent to the church, killing Christians who were sheltering there, including family of Justin Amash, former congressman of whom I have some very spirited disagreements. I think I went after him a couple years ago. Frankly, it's wrong that there was substantially more outrage when Gaza's own militants shot their own rocket at their own hospital parking lot than when Christians died sheltering in the oldest church in Gaza. Accidents happen in war. Not only that, but Hamas loves to use soft targets as staging grounds and human shields, so they can scream about Israeli atrocities after strikes. Nevertheless, I have been disappointed by Israel's response. What intelligence was Israel responding to? What target were they going after that justified putting a historic church in danger? Israel says the church blast is, quote, under investigation, but contrition and a full accounting should be the top of Israel's priority list. Israel quickly apologized recently when it mistakenly targeted an Egyptian position. Christians around the world are Israel's number one ally, and if a Christian church was targeted, we need to know exactly why and how. The building itself goes back 900 years, but it's a congregation that goes back 1,700 years. Now, let me just kind of build this out a little bit. If a Christian country was at war and mistakenly bombed a very old Israeli kibbutz that was 1,700 years, that would be wrong. And I'm not saying it was targeted. Targeted an adjacent building looks like an accident. But, you know, a very great Jewish friend of mine agrees, quote, Israel can't wait days to respond, otherwise fake news fills the void. And I think that's exactly right. Israel needs to beef up their PR war here. And so over the weekend, and again, I'm getting attacked for saying this, but it's true. Over the weekend, this story spread, and it spread, and it spread, and it spread. And it made it seem as if that Israel intentionally targeted church. Now, if you read my tweet, I did not say that. In fact, the tweet says, damage done to 12th century church. Accidents happen in war. They targeted something adjacent to it. I say that in there. So you have this spread, essentially, very quickly, and people then are not sure what to believe. Justin Amash tweets out that his family was killed in this because they thought they were safe in a church. And so, look, the IDF needs a rapid response room on the PR front. And what I don't quite appreciate, I'll be honest, is a lack of self-awareness by some pro-Israel advocates that are quite not reading the room and say that, hey, Christians in America are not like thrilled to see news of old churches being bombed. And so some sensitivity would be someone with PR skills of the Israeli government come out and be like, wow, that's not what we intended. This is terrible. This is awful. And, you know, this is why we did it. The attitude of some people at the top of the Israeli government and that people that I've been texting that are pro-Israel is they are offended at me, at the idea that anyone would even care about this. And this doesn't change that Israel has a right to defend itself. Okay? There's Hamas to the front, Hamas to the south, Hezbollah to the north, but there is this unfolding information war. And if I could be honest, to the Israeli government, you guys are failing this information war so terribly. And then there's almost this arrogance like, well, why do you guys care? If a 1,700-year-old Jewish community was bombed and Jews were killed in a bombing of a Christian, like let me give you an example, okay? When America invaded Iraq, if there was like this super old Jewish community in Iraq that got bombed and an old like Jewish temple dating back to the times, I don't know, of Maimonides got bombed, that would probably be news, rightfully so. Boy, Israel needs to step up its PR game big time. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.